You haven't called me up yet, but I'm here. Hi, everybody. How are you all? Great to be here today. Very honoured by our senior pastors, Pastor Nigel and Andrea, asking me to share today. Very blessed by that. It's always an honour and a privilege. Thank you to our music team. What a fantastic job. Emma, leading our service today. Awesome. And leading our church in these coming weeks. So that's... Everybody having a good weekend? Has your footy team won, lost, drawn? Tomorrow morning, who's going to stay up for the World Cup? Anybody watching the World Cup? Any soccer fans here? Who's going for Australia? Nobody. Okay. Who's going for Croatia? I am. Very good. Who's going for France? Yeah, if you go to France, you wouldn't have been going for France, let me tell you. Go there for a holiday. You won't be, have you? Okay. No, they're okay. Any French here? We do love you. It's all good. Oh, dear, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You know, we had a member of our church who came here for about 8 years, Betty Gardner. And she came and she sat at the front row here, and many of you know her. Actually, some of her family here today, Adam, Leanne and Ross, thank you for being here today. And anyway, I was going to just tell you this funny story about Betty. She used to come sit at the front. Then later in years, Lydia used to pinch her, so she'd sit at the back with Lydia. And there was a little bit of, our music is it's not normal, it's loud, it's great. And I'd heard a little bit of, some people weren't happy, it was a bit loud. And I thought, oh, wow, I wonder how Betty is. Maybe this is too much for Betty. She sits down the front, there's speakers blaring . And so I approached Betty and I says, Betty, the music here, how's it going? Is it pretty loud, too loud for you? Oh, no, it is fantastic. I love the music here. I thought, wow, for someone who's in their 80s, that is just fantastic. And I thought, blow everybody else. If she says it's okay, it must be fine. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Betty through the service today, just a little bit. And because she was just a beautiful woman here in our church, and she was a great example to follow, a very good example. But the title of my message today, right, is who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? Who are you engaging in your community? Who are you engaging in your family? Who are you engaging in your social world? Who are you engaging in maybe the sporting world? So who are you talking to? I know many of us love being comfortable. We love just hanging around people that we know. It's very comforting and it's very protecting. But what about reaching out and talking to other people? Maybe you've been coming to this church for a long time and you've seen people here and you've gone, gee, I'd love to talk to that person. Well, what are you waiting for? Maybe there's people in your family that you haven't spoken to for a long time. You haven't picked up the phone. What are you waiting for? Who are you talking to? The other night, I was with my wife. We were at a restaurant. We hadn't gone in yet. We're lining up outside. And there's a man in front of us, had his earphones on. And you can see into the restaurant, there's pictures on the wall. And we're standing there, really good vibe. So I got his attention, Say, tapped him on the shoulder, takes his earphones out. I started talking to him. I said, have you been here before? What do you recommend? He started talking to me. He was really good. Didn't bite me. It was great. Within like minutes, I knew where he worked. I knew what he did. He knew where I worked. And he knew what I did. So don't be afraid to talk to people. Don't be afraid to say hello to the gentleman behind the counter at the gas station, the petrol station, the bakery. Don't be afraid to talk to people. It's perfectly fine. It is great. If you're not talking to anybody, I'm hoping that today, by the end of this service, that you can have the courage and the faith and the joy to talk to people. Just talk. We know as Christians that it's important to engage those around us. But some people feel paralyzed by fear. Some people just feel stuck because maybe some negative past experience. But let me ask you a question. How did you get here? Did somebody talk to you? I'm sure that someone moved out of their comfort spot to talk to you. You know, we live in a culture where we're becoming more and more isolated. You know, less people contact. We don't even have to leave our front door. We don't have to have any people interaction. Food can be delivered to your door. You've got the grocery, online shopping, clothing. Everything you possibly need or want, you can order online. Have it delivered without any human contact. We can download the latest movies and watch at home. People are now doing online coffee and dinner dates. Have you ever done that? I have to confess, I have done one. My daughter lives in London. My son lives in Sydney with his wife. And my wife and I and my son are here in Perth. And we did a connect three-way. And we could see all three of us live. And this was pre-organised by my daughter. She says, we're going to eat pasta. So we had dinner together. It wasn't a coffee time, but it was a dinner get together, all online, with a laptop stand, we're talking with each other, and we're having lots of fun. But I do believe, right, I know technology there's a lot of good stuff about it, okay? But I do believe we do need to be we've got to have some sort of counterculture where there is people contact. You know, if I want fish and chips, I want a good burger, I'll be honest with you, I won't order that in. I just love to get in the car, go with my wife, drive down the road, hang out there, look at people, just watch the world go by. It's amazing just watching people's faces. It's incredible. So this young guy the other night, after talking to him, he didn't get back on his... Because I could see he was cool and he was open to continue talking to us. You know, you can never replace human interaction. Here on a Friday, you know, we run a community lunch and we invite everybody from our community. I don't care whether you got money or you got no money. It doesn't matter. It's non-judgmental. What we're doing is we want to create community. We want people to come to a place where they belong, where they can talk to one another, then there's human interaction. Do you know how many people love it because of that? Do you know homeless people, you think, oh, you know, their biggest need is food. That's one of their needs, but the biggest thing that they long for in their heart is human interaction. They love when you talk to them. They love it. I've had them come in here. They come on a Friday, and sometimes you wouldn't even know. I had a lady say to me the other day, she goes, you know, I'm a little bit surprised. I haven't seen any, there's no homeless people that come here. I said, well, actually, there is. You just wouldn't know. You just wouldn't know. And they were. They were. And they love coming. there's something about the presence of God on the community. And let me tell you, on a Friday, there is a presence of God here on the community. And yes, we do share the word. We have a lot of fun. We have a lot of laughter. And we eat some awesome, amazing food. It is really quite amazing. So I want to encourage you today that you have to begin by overcoming your commitment to do nothing. Please don't do nothing. Please, when you leave here, please don't think, you know, you're going to do nothing. Now, this scripture here, I'm going to read. It's in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1 and to verse 11. And what I'm going to do here, I'm going to ask you all to stand up. We're going to read this together. Okay? Now, this message today, you can apply this, right? You can apply this to every part of your life. Every interaction that you have in the workplace, in the business field, doesn't matter where you are, this is what you can model. Okay? When you're talking to somebody, when someone comes up and talks to you. Okay. Thank you very much. Can I just say before I start this, David Langlands, thank you very much for the microphone. During the week, I was thinking about, you know, when I was going to come here and share the word, and thought, I've got to have that mic that I've got to hold. Thought, oh, you know, I really struggle with holding a mic, as you know, being of Italian blood, Italian descent. I've got to move my hands, you know. And so, David, thank you. He said to me this morning, oh, Charlie, you like that hands-free mic, don't you? I go, have you got it? It's working. Yes. Thank you. So thank you very much, Dave. You're awesome. Thank you to Claire Langlands as well, all the amazing work she does behind the scenes. You're an amazing woman. Okay, let's read this together. Ready? One, two, three. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take on interests of others. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated to the place of honor and gave him the name above all names. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, to the glory of God the Father. Just praise him right now. Thank you, Jesus. You are just awesome. You are just the best. Amen. Take your seats. You know, this scripture shows how to do relationships well, how to do it in love. You know, so this is the scripture I want to use today to help us have the mind of Christ, to have his attitudes. This is something that we can all do, yeah? We can all do this, surely. You know, Betty Gardner, I said to Betty one day, I says, Betty, I'm going to Canning Vale Prison, and would you like to come with me? I'm going to visit a prisoner, and just going to go and talk to him. Will you come? And she looks at me and she says, oh, yes, I can do that. Bloomin' hell. She's in her late 80s, right? And she's going to come with me. Oh, I was so thrilled. I was so excited. She kind of floored me, to be honest with you. So anyway, so Betty had done a few things. We'd also gone to Boddington once to visit a lady who wasn't well, and we prayed for her. And we also went to visit another couple down there, a guy that worked on the mines. And so we'd gone out there together, and after, you know, we'd had coffee and all that. So anyway, so Betty came with me to Canning Vale, to the prison at Hakea. And so, and if you go there, it's pretty daunting. It's quite confronting. You know, you go to this little room first, and you give all your stuff, and it gets put in a locker, and then you walk this long trail walk, and then you head into where security is, and you get x-rayed, because you could have a bomb on you, you could have drugs on you. I could have been using, you know, Betty as you know, put something on her to help me get something in. Who knows? I don't know what they're thinking. So you get x-rayed, okay, and then you get they look at you, they check you out, and then there's these spots, right, before this big door, and so you've got to stand on this spot, and then they bring out the sniffer dogs, right, and the dogs come out, you know, or a dog, I can't remember if there was one or two, one dog, I'm pretty sure, and it's all good, there's about six of us, and so then they open the door, click, you know, then you're free to go through. Now, Betty didn't do this once, she came with me quite a few times, and there was one time a sniffer dog was sniffing by this girl. So they get her and they take her in a room and she's not allowed to go through. I think they smelt some green stuff on her. I don't know. Maybe she'd been smoking the night before or that morning. So anyway, so then we go through and then there's this long walk, right, to where you go and visit them and you see the big concrete jungle and you walk into this room and you're seated. You tell them who you want to see and then they call him out and he comes out and you start chatting. And so, do you know what? What's my point? If Betty can do this, oh yes, I can do that. And her age was no barrier. We can all do this. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. Do you know one person, I have to tell you this, I spoke to this guy many, many years ago and he said to me, because you know, Charlie, as you get older, I've noticed that as people getting older, they get grumpier and they get really, you know. And I was like, oh, Lord, I don't want to be like that. It kind of scared me a bit. So I had this little mindset in my head that as I'm going to get older, I'm going to get grumpier, and you know. But do you know what? I spent time with Betty. I thought, man, she's not grumpy. She's beautiful. She's compassionate. She's tender-hearted. I see other ladies here that are older than me, and they're the same. Compassionate, tender-hearted. So in our relationships, can I just say that Betty passed away recently. I know many of you know this. And can I just say, let me say something, and that is that the last week of her life, she had a stroke, okay? And it wasn't good. She only had a short time. And we were told, and Helen and myself, we went down to see her. And it was beautiful to see her, you know. You know the love of God. You know, Paul talks in Scripture. And says, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Neither suffering, neither height, nor depth, no demonic spirit. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I saw her and I saw her family just love upon her, you know. And as I thought about it, you know, the Lord was with her, embracing her right to the very last moment when she took her last breath on that Saturday. I was there on the Thursday. And on that Saturday, when she left, you know, she got promoted to heaven. She got promoted to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. You know, that is amazing, ladies and gentlemen. You know, that's phenomenal. That is just incredible. We are so privileged to know Jesus, the greatest name of all, having him in our hearts. So when we're talking, let's get back to what I'm talking about. Who are you talking to? And what kind of an attitude, what kind of a posture should we have when we're talking to people? Caroline, I was actually quite impressed with you this morning when you received your flowers. She could have gone on and she could have rambled a lot more about what she's done here, how long she's been in the ministry team, the worship team. She's done a lot more than what she says, okay? She was very modest. She was very humble. So when we're talking to people, what is our attitude and what is our posture? I'm going to tell you a story that there are benefits in talking to people. Not that we're looking for them, but sometimes they just come your way. So what kind of attitude should we have? Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says, "Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others." When I told my brother that I was going to the Malaysian Formula One Grand Prix last year, he organised a pit pass for myself. So I got to go into the pits and see what goes on. It was just really good. There's a photo of me there we go. I've only got six fingers there. Don't know what happened to the other two. So anyway, so I'm in this garage, right, and there's the car there, and you're just looking and you're watching. And this big burly guy comes up. He's one of the staff there. And he's just standing next to me. And to be honest with you, I can't remember how I struck up a conversation with him. I have no idea. But we started talking. I think he might have said to me, "Do you know what that is?" I go, "No." And so he started telling me about this. It was really quite amazing. He started telling me about the security camera that's there that's watching everything that's going on 24/7. Anyway, he starts giving me this whole process of things. And so we're talking and we're interacting, and it was really quite good. And then he goes, "I'll show you what I do." So then he takes me further at the back where he works in his little workshop. And he does these ultrasounds on the carbon fiber to see the width, the depth, the height, of cracks that occur. And so he's explaining all this stuff to me, and I'll be honest with you, I was blessed. Sometimes talking to people, you're just going to get blessed. I didn't get to share the gospel with him, that never happened. But do you know what? I came out of there more informed than when I went in there, and I was just blessed. It was just a great blessing. But I also was interested in him and his world. Okay, what's this over here? What's that? Also, he pointed things out, but I also asked stuff. And I even asked stuff about him. Told me he was used to work on aircrafts. That's what he used to do on aircrafts, check the bodies, check the planes for cracks, all this kind of stuff. And so be interested in people. Be interested in your wife. Be interested in your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whoever you're working with. Be interested in them. Sometimes, you'll get divine appointments where somebody will come up and talk to you. Who's had that? People will just come up and talk to you. I had a young lady. Her name was Marie, and I was at Steve McKenzie's house one day, just parking up the van there. We leave our van there, our poor care van. And so this girl comes out from next door and starts talking to me. And so I just started talking to her, started engaging with her. And through that, we struck up a friendship. We helped her with stuff at Port Care. And she had things going on in her world. She had her struggles. And she was a beautiful young lady. She had two children. Her children weren't with her. They were with the father. She came to our lunch once. She rocked up once here in the taxi, and she came to our lunch and she said to someone, "Oh, can you get Charlie to pay the taxi fare?" So I was like, what? So I went out and paid the taxi fare. It was okay, you know, it's all good. And so you know, I had opportunities to share my faith with her. And one day, a guy rings me up and says, one of her neighbours, Jared, rang me and said, "Oh, Charlie, Marie's, she's in the house. She won't come out. She wants to die. She's had enough, you know. She won't open the door." And he was really quite frantic. I said, "Okay, I'll come up right now." So we met on College Street. We walked up, went to the home. On the way up, I called the ambulance, wanted the medics to come. It's always good to call the ambulance. And so I got to the door and I just pushed it and it opened. And I thought, oh, okay. So I walked in there and she was there on the lounge and she's laying there crying, you know, bit of a mess. So I just sat there and just listened to her unload stuff from her heart, you know. And eventually the medics came and they took her away and they helped her and eventually she came back home. So, yeah, so she had her struggles in life. One morning I was there on a Sunday morning and I went to pick up Steve and I'm sitting there in the window, my window's open in the car, and I hear this rustling in these trees and things falling to the ground. And I look, and about 8 metres away, there's a tree. I can see somebody up there. So I get out of the car and I walk over and I go, "I'm looking up in this tree," and it's her in the tree. I says, "Marie, what are you doing up there?" She goes, I was building a flying fox for my daughter, but it's not going to work. So I'm building a swing for my daughter. So she, so we're chatting away, and so she calls her daughter out. I've never met her daughter. She calls her daughter out. She had it for the weekend, so I met her daughter. And it was really funny. We just had a really good laugh and a really good chat. And so it was really good. I got to share my faith with her, and it was just significant sharing my faith with her that day. It was just beautiful. She's been down. She'd come and see me at Port Care. We'd helped her with stuff, and she was just come and just talk to me about stuff. And so one day I get a phone call from Jared. Says to me, "Charlie, Marie's gone. She's not here." I go, "What do you mean she's gone? She's not here." She says, "They found her. She's passed away. She's dead." And that hurt that day. That just really shocked me. But anyway, I went to her funeral on the 19th of June 2018. She was 38 years of age. A lot of things went through my mind that day, you know. But I was really glad and pleased to be a part of her life. You know, we are, you know, you're significant. You're important. You're valued by Jesus. Each and every one of you. And please don't ignore your neighbours. Don't ignore those around you. Spend time with them. Listen to them. You know, I had a guy who, you know, comes into the store and we'd help him with stuff, and he gave me a real hard time about my faith, you know. And he was just so anti. He was just obnoxious. He was, you know, the guys you want to strangle. You know, the guy you want to go back to when you're young and you want to go up and snot them. Those kind of guys. You've never felt like that. Okay. So anyway, so, you know, he would come in and, you know, I'd always reach out to him, talk to him, you know, blah, blah, blah. And one day I called him. I said, "Hey, do you want to catch up for a coffee?" He says, "Yeah." So we booked a time. He pulled out. So that was fine. Then I sent him a message 2 weeks later. I said, "Look, just let me know when you want to catch up next." And so so we booked another one. And the morning, I contacted him. He says, oh, look, my wrists are playing up. It's going to be really hard for me to drive. I said, that's okay, I'll pick you up. He goes, oh, will you really? I says, yeah. Picked him up. We went down, sat down. We had a coffee. But you got pictures of that coffee up there? Have a coffee with somebody. It's amazing. So I sat there with him having a coffee and I'm listening to him and he's telling me his story. I thought, wow, gee, you've had this really tough. You know, I could actually understand him now, you know. And he turns around to me, he didn't turn around because we're facing each other. He says to me, he goes, what about you? What made you start believing in Christ? What got you going? So I was able to share, you know, what the Lord had done in my life. And he was not antagonistic. He was like, I thought this is like a different guy that I've spoken to before. He was just, it was just amazing. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on people. Be encouraging. Be compassionate and tender. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Tender and compassionate. You know, you can apply this in your relationship with everybody. Be tender. Be compassionate. What's your heart like? Are you compassionate and tender? Are you arrogant, short-fused? Self-centered. One thing you can do to do a checklist with yourself is when you're talking to people, just listen to yourself. Just have a listen. Are you talking more about yourself? Are you talking about more of your own importance? Or are you getting in their world to find out and ask them how they are? Listen to yourself when you're with people. Have a listen to what you're talking about. Don't try to impress others. Don't big note yourself. When people ask you things, they ask you a question about your achievements, it's fine to talk about your achievements. I think it's okay. That's not big noting yourself. You're just stating some facts. Isn't that right? Like one of my achievements is I've been married for 33 years. How good is that? That's fantastic. I'm not big noting it. I'm no better than anyone else. I'm just stating a fact. Am I? Oh, dear me. So be interested in others. Who are you talking to? Have that Betty Gardner attitude. Yes, I can do that. Can I share something else with you about Betty? You know, she was a successful woman. She had her own business. She had a beautiful family. She had three children. Her eldest one died at 18 months, had complications with his heart. But in her walk in life, she did lots of things. She travelled. She had lots of fun, but there was still something missing in her heart. There's still something missing in her life. There's still that emptiness there. You know, we talked and we shared. And one day, it was people that came to her that talked to her about Christ. And she came to the Lord with her husband, Ray Gardner. I'm not sure if it was in her late 40s or early 50s. And she came to Christ. She found Jesus. Maybe you're here today. I don't know how young you are. I don't know how old you are. But maybe there's something going on in your life. There's that emptiness. You're searching. You've been hankering for that. I know for me, I was 19 years of age. And those 3 years before that, I've been searching for a long time, thinking that life is this and that. But when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart, he filled me with his joy and his peace, forgave me of all my sin, We've all sinned. We've all made mistakes. All of us. But the beautiful thing about the gospel, the good news is that he cleanses us and he does not hold that against us. Jesus didn't come into the world to judge you or to condemn you, but he came that you might have life and have life more abundantly. Jesus never called us as believers to just survive in life, not just to survive, you know, just make it to church each Sunday. Oh, get a drink of, get some fresh air, then go out and then, you know, do what you do during the week. He called us to thrive, to enjoy life, to have an abundant life. Betty Garner, right to the age of 93 years of age, let me tell you, she had an abundant life. She had an amazing life. She had beautiful children. She raised up a great family. She prayed for her children. Where are you at today in your world? Where are you at today in your life? Maybe you know Jesus here today, but you've gone a bit obscure. You know, you're not walking in his love. Your attitudes are just, you know, way, 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 way off track. And you need to realign yourself with him again today. Well, I'm going to give you that opportunity after to come out and I'll pray with you. So, Betty, John chapter 11 and verse 25. John chapter 11 and verse 25. Jesus told her, this is Martha coming to Jesus and they're chatting about her brother who died. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. Betty said yes to Jesus many years ago. And let me tell you that today she's in a great place. And we can be comforted by that. And I am so full of joy and peace in knowing where she is. Maybe if you were, something happened to you today or tomorrow or whenever, are you sure? Have you received Jesus Christ into your life? Have you surrendered your life to him and said, Jesus, here I am. I want to follow you. You know, last night I was at a wedding. I caught up with a very old friend who goes to C3 Church in Hepburn Heights. And he said, he was just talking to me about his life. He lived two lives. On a Sunday, he put on a good act. He said to me, Charlie, I played the game. I played the game. I played the game. I did the right thing on a Sunday, but during the week, I was another person. I just listened to him, and he said to me, you know, he said he began praying and saying, Lord, help me. Make me the man that you want me to be. Lord, make me the man that you want me to be. Maybe today you're in that position. Hey, and do you know what? You know what was, I loved talking to him. He said to me, do you know the Lord touched him, kept on touching him in the season of his life, and he felt really bad. And the Lord said to him one day, I love you. I love you. What you've done, I don't hold that against you. I love you. And he says to me, Charlie, you know now, I just look at people and I'm looking at them. I'm looking at them through the eyes of Jesus. Because I just start crying. Because I start weeping. Because I saw him weeping during the service yesterday, and I said, oh, I saw you, you know, you were, because yeah, child, I weep just about at everything now. No, I'm exaggerating a bit. But, you know, he just gets moved so quickly. And we do need to look at people through the eyes of Jesus, don't we? Not through our eyes, but through his eyes. Can we stand up? Let's just stand and let's just rest. But in one sense, with your heart, just engaging with Christ. So what I would like to, just going to ask a question. And if you're here today, you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord and your Savior, and it's time to surrender to him, I want to give you this opportunity right now. I would hate not to give you this opportunity now and you leave and something was to happen. I would hate that. Heaven is real. Heaven is real. And I know so is this life on earth. It can be hurtful, it can be painful at times. But let me tell you that nothing will separate you from the love of Jesus. He will keep you. He will embrace you. All he calls us to do is to stay in him, to put your trust in him. So with all eyes closed, if you'd like to ask Jesus to come into your heart right now, I just want to see that. I just want to see you acknowledge me just by putting your hand up. Okay. I would also like to pray with you and ask the Lord just to bless you. So if you're here today and you have not asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, I'm just looking to the right side of my building, of the building, probably your left. If that's anyone here, can you just put your hand up so I can see? Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Very courageous. Anybody else? Anyone else? Look at the center of our building here. Is there anybody here that you'd like to say yes to Jesus Christ? Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, the author of life. Just pop your hand up so I can see that. Then over here to my left, is there anyone here that you'd like to receive Jesus Christ? Just pop your hand up so I can see that. Okay. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Very courageous. Awesome. Gentlemen, can I ask you to, can I pray with you? Can you come out here for me? Please. Thank you. Okay. Well, I'll chat with you later. Is that okay? All right. Okay, thanks. What's your name, mate?
Jonathan.
Good to see you, man.
Nice to meet you, Charlie.
Yeah. See all these people here? They're barracking for you. Okay. They're barracking for you. Okay.
Thank you, church.
I'd like to pray with you. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Church, can you please pray this prayer with me as well? Sarah over there, will you do that as well? Thank you. Okay, you can close your eyes if you like. Okay, whatever's comfortable for you. Lord Jesus, I ask you today. To come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me in your precious blood. Thank you for calling me. I am your child. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's awesome. Well done, Sue. Jesus loves you. Forever will. Nothing will ever separate you from him. His love and his hand will be on you. I'm just going to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, continue to bless. Keep your hand upon him, Lord. Give him a hunger for the word of God, for the presence of God. Bestow your grace upon him today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Emma, one of the ladies here, she'll catch up with you after the service, okay?
Okay.
All right, buddy. Good on you. Give him a hand, everyone. Okay. I'd like to leave the altar call open here, okay? Just for anybody, really, you want to come out, you know. Who are you talking to? You feel like, come, I want to talk. I want to be a talker. I want to reach out to people. I want you to come out here. If you're one like, you know, yes, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. I want to do that. Come on, you come out here as well. Oh, we're going to pray for boldness. We're going to break free. If you got fear, come out here. Don't sit there. Don't walk away with your fear. Don't take that home with you, please. Don't take fear home with you. Don't take those past experiences home with you. Come out here. Let the Lord minister to you, touch you, and heal you. Do you know you may not have a physical ailment here today, but in your heart, you could be imprisoned by your emotions, by things that have occurred in your life. Let me tell you, Jesus came to set the captive free. He came to give you freedom. He came to give you liberty. Do you remember that great movie, Braveheart? That's one of my favorite movies, man. That is so awesome. Let me tell you, when he called out, freedom, let me tell you, that is resounding in heaven today and in here. Jesus wants to give you freedom. Okay, freedom. So if you want to be free, come. Don't sit in here. Come out now. Please, come on, come. Music team, keep playing. Thank you. So come, I'm going to leave this open for you. Okay, we're going to pray with you. The Lord's going to touch you and bless you. Okay? Fantastic. Come on, come. Don't stay in your seats. Prayer team's going to help me. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Barry.